tell me about your violin.
Sure. I'm very lucky to have the use of this violin. It's on loan from the Nippon Music Foundation in Japan. It's a violin made by Antonio Stradivarius in 1709. This is the Engelmann Strad, named after Dr. Engelmann. He was a rheumatologist in the Bay Area, amateur violinist, loved playing string quartets in his home. And when he could no longer play, he sold the instrument to the foundation, and now they loan it out to players like myself.
And what about your bows? I was interested to see you open your case. You had two different bows, and we started talking about those bows. So now you're going to play a short excerpt for us on both those bows. Benjamin, we just heard you play the opening of Sibelius's violin concerto on your violin with two different bows. So tell me about those bows. Now, the first segment that we heard, what bow was that?
That was using a bow made by François Xavier Tort, who is sort of considered the Stradivarius of bow makers. As you could tell from his name, he's a French guy. He worked in the early 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s. That bow was from roughly 1820, and that was formerly used by a virtuoso by the name of Balakovich. I don't know much about him, but the bow bears his name. And yeah, I've had that bow for, I think, maybe 3 years now.
And you were telling me that the bow maker makes the bow, the bow part, mm-hmm. And then he adds the handle. Can you talk about
that
a little
bit?
Sure,
yeah, of course. So the art of bow making is mostly rooted in, of course, woodworking. The bow makers use Pernambuco wood, which is a Brazilian wood. It's extremely strong but very flexible, so that's ideal for violins when you need some spiccato, some ricochet, some bouncing, but also occasionally some very legato strokes. So what bow makers do is they take, you know, a long block of Pernambuco. They shape it down to a kind of rough shape of the bow, and then they cut it into octagonal blocks or they round it off. And this maker, Tort, wanted an octagonal stick, which makes it a little bit stronger, a little bit firmer. And so for, you know, concertos, which are the pieces that I usually play, you know, you have to power over an orchestra. So that's an ideal bow for me. I need power. I need strength. And so, yeah, so this maker, he made an octagonal stick. He realized that he loved this piece of wood and was particularly fond of the stick. And so he made a very fine frog made out of tortoiseshell and gold and pearl fittings.
It's absolutely beautiful. The second bow is a modern bow. From my perspective, sitting here in the studio listening to you play, I did hear a difference between the sound of the two bows. And the first bow sounded a little bit deeper and richer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an accurate perception on my part?
Absolutely. That's what drew me to the bow, actually. I mean, violin is very much a treble instrument. You know, it sounds like a soprano. And in many ways, that's great. But sometimes you want to also have some darkness to the sound. So the violin is obviously exceptional. The Stradivarius violin is truly a world-class instrument, but it excels in the higher registers, and I wanted darker stuff. So that's why I found that this bow by Tort was much better. However, the contemporary bow that you mentioned, which is the second excerpt, it's an incredible bow. I mean, it's made by a maker who won the MacArthur Grant for his kind of developments to the bow. The bow as an idea. His name is Benoit Roland. He works outside of Boston. And so he made me that bow in 2013 or 14. And I use it occasionally, but it's a different sound palette. So yes, your ears, I think, are very accurate. The first bow, the old bow, has the richness, the kind of mellifluous golden tone. And then the contemporary bow has the super high overtones. It gets that brilliance to it.
Yeah, it really does. That's, of course, that's a better word than what I would have come up with. But it did. It sounded really brilliant. They were both wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I must say, you had also said something to me that the instrument you're playing and the bows that you're using are really designed for a larger space.
Well, yes and no. What I find amazing is, as I mentioned, this instrument was made in 1709. The piece, which I'll be playing with the symphony, was composed in 1905. I mean, so it's 200 years after the instrument. Strad could never have known what pieces would be played on this violin. At the time that he made it, the fingerboard, essentially the pitches that people had to play, wouldn't be all that high. It wouldn't be all that virtuosic. And so later additions were made to the violin. So yes, it's made for a concert hall, but the concert hall that Strad designed it for was, you know, maybe 300 people. Whereas a symphony orchestra, you're playing over an 80-person orchestra, 100-person orchestra, depending, in a 3,000-seat auditorium sometimes. So really, not only does the instrument have to be adjusted, but the player has to adjust how they work with the instrument. The strings are now metal, so obviously much more brilliant and much stronger. Essentially, they're just souped up now.